We obviously do not have a quorum, but we'll start. Benson Biskins, you and I can do what we want today. And I will call the meeting to order. We'll go back to the minutes. We don't even have our first bill author, but I will move House File 778 for Representative Faust. And if his testifier could come forward, Superintendent Harris. And I'm sure that Representative Faust will be along any minute now. But I think we'll, because we just don't like to keep people waiting, we will hear from you, and then he can explain what the bill does when he gets here. But if you could tell us your story of why you need the bill, and then hopefully he'll get here to tell you, to tell us what he wants to do with the bill to help with your problem.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Superintendent Harris, our procedure, I should have told you, is to say, restate your name, because we get it all recorded, and then anyone listening later can know your voice and know who you are.
My name is Ed Harris, and I'm the second-tier superintendent in Ogilvie, small district up on Highway 47, about 40 minutes north of Anoka. And I'm here to support a House File 778 to allow districts in our situation to run a second operating levy referendum in the current calendar year for a couple of reasons. We have experienced, like many districts of our size, a significant enrollment decline over the past 3 years, and in response have made significant expenditure reductions to try and remain viable. Our base revenue budget right now runs about $5 million, and as of this spring we will approach about $1 million in cuts in the last 4 years. We have not had a operating levy in place since 2003, and we have narrowly avoided SOD the last two fiscal years, and fear that we may be right at that point or over at the end of this current year. We are a capital loan district as well, which carries some ramifications for our taxpayers, and we are very sensitive to that. That's the reason for the district not asking for and has not had a referendum on the ballot up until last November. That ballot question in November was a pretty aggressive referendum request of about $1,200 per student, and it failed 1,050 to 800. Our projection model, which projects now to 2013, clearly indicates that we cannot remain viable unless we impact our revenue stream. The amount of cutting that would have to take place, theoretically, to balance the budget over that period of time is not structurally feasible. What we want is some additional flexibility, knowing that the state is doing their best to deal with the state deficit, and that K-12 funding, certainly is a part of that. We want to have more independent control and flexibility to try and solve our own revenue issues if we are able to. Part of the problem we have is that with one failed election in the calendar year, you then experience the loss of revenue potential for the coming year, and the deficit is compounded. And in our particular case, should we not achieve that the next opportunity, the deficit will be such that a referendum amount would be insurmountable for our community. Right now it's pushing the edge. We've done a number of things to try and soften the potential levy amount that we may need to ask for. We've engaged in OPEB bonding at no cost to taxpayer because we're a capital loan district. We've been able to do that underneath our existing authority. We have had our certified teaching staff volunteer a two-year wage freeze to try and help out with the effort. We are also exploring the possibility of a four-day week for some cost savings and additional efficiencies, and think that we are just approaching the point where our ability to make strategic enough decisions to right our own ship are getting smaller.
All right, thank you very much. And we Representative Faust, we're going in reverse order, since I know you had to check in at another committee. So we heard about the, normally hear about the bill, and then we hear about the problem from the testifier. But now we have heard about the problem, and then we'll ask Representative Faust, your bill has been moved for the what the bill does.
All right.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And what this bill does is it allows schools that are very close to going into statutory operating debt, I think 18 across the whole state, it allows them to have an extra vote on a levy referendum. And so it's something that, you know, it helps keep those schools out of statutory operating debt if they can pass that. And I'm sure that Superintendent Harris talked about, you know, the advantages of having that that election on a separate day from a regular general election. And so I think that that's a very important thing. We also had another bill that allowed just Ogilvy to do this, and we decided to go with this bill instead to allow all 18 of those schools that same opportunity that we're allowing Ogilvy. Ogilvy, though, I want to talk about Ogilvy School just for a little bit. Ogilvy School is a school that we wish every school were as good at across the state. Ogilvy is really one of the outstanding schools in our area and in the state. They do a fantastic job. And really because of conditions beyond their control, they're in this situation. And they really have done a great job of trying to eliminate expenses as much as they have. They've gone down to 2 classes per grade, and so they're looking at about 30 kids per grade now, or per class right now. He mentioned the teachers have offered to take a freeze. They're looking at 4-day week. But even with all of those changes, they still don't have enough that they can save to not require some type of levy referendum. So it just gives them that opportunity to put it out there when it might be a little bit more favorable conditions for them to do that. So with that, I do have a fiscal note on this. It's $18,000 for fiscal year or for 11, and $107,000 for fiscal year 12. So it's a very minor impact to the state, and those are just because of what do you call matching dollars or what do you call it? Equalization aid. So it's a very minor impact, and the fiscal note has 2 or 3 pages of all numbers, and so I don't know how they came up with this number, but they did. So.
All right, thank you, Representative Faust. And members, there's 2 type of bills for this type of problem, and this is one, the type that I prefer as chair of this committee, which I call a threshold bill. Many members, if you have a unique situation and it only affects your own district, then of course you come in with a local bill like a fund transfer, or like Representative Shemansky's bill is certainly that we're going to hear next is unique, and we hope it's fairly unique. But sometimes there's problems that districts have that they want to address with special legislation, but it affects other districts as well. And I always prefer if somebody's going to do the type of bill that would help their district and other districts have the same problem, that it's a threshold bill that any district that has the same problem, if we're going to pass it for one, we should pass it for all. That, of course, makes any proposals more expensive. But I just think it's a matter of equity. That's what our committee is all about, fairness for students wherever they might live. So Representative Faust has kindly brought us the cheaper bill in case we get push comes to shove, but this is the better bill to start out with. And members, in your packet, as long as more people are here now, we have a report from the Department of Education on districts that are in statutory operating debt so that you can take a look at just the magnitude of the problem and that this bill would address. They could at least have one way to address it by going out for an extra chance to fight for a levy referendum. And my preference would be that we would fund the new Minnesota Miracle and have adequate funding for our schools so that we don't have to keep giving districts tools to spend their time and energy and money on trying to raise property taxes when education funding is a state responsibility. But because we have not been doing as well as we could, we have a whole series of bills here today of districts in various types of trouble, often exacerbated by declining enrollment. And so I think it's because we haven't been doing our job, we have to give districts some tools to work with. And this is one proposal. So I thank you for bringing it. And are there any questions from members? Representative Depp.
Representative Starris, do you know how many districts could be affected by this? I mean, I know that we have the report from the Department of Education. I read their initial one, and I think it was like 13 So are we talking $18 million times 13 districts approximately for an estimate of cost on this bill?
Representative Becky, it's actually $18,000. But Representative...
Oh, I apologize. Yeah.
That's fine, thank you. it's $18,000, and that is actually for all of the schools, so not on a per basis. That's the total of all of them put together.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Bauch, thank you for the testimony, and obviously it sounds like there's a crisis situation occurring in this district. Every district is unique, but it sounds like what you described as a crisis. You know, and under state law right now, when we have unique situations such as, well, when you find asbestos in a school, the voters don't get to vote on that. They don't get to decide whether to remove asbestos for the school or not. So in this situation where it's an extreme situation, it seemed like, obviously it's a very difficult environment to get something like this passed. Is any thoughts, your opinions on maybe just giving this levy authority to the school district? What are your thoughts on that?
Representative Bauch.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo. I guess my opinion on that would be I suggested that to a superintendent one time a couple months ago, and his response was, if we do that, every school board member across the state will get voted off in the next two elections. So he wasn't very excited about that option. I think it's certainly something worth looking at, and I think that we need to consider that as we go down the road. But I think we have other things that we need to take a look at, where the federal dollars are going to come in with the stimulus package and that type of thing, and where our budget boils down to in the end. Thank you.
President Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this question maybe might be for Mr. Strom. The history behind the 2.5% of the 2.5% number in negative fund balance. I assume at the time that was done, whenever that was, there was probably discussion about, do we do it just when they're negative, as Representative Hulse is trying to do here, or do we have a number? And 2.5% was set. Do you have any background for us on that as to why that number?
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, Representative Demmer, no, actually I don't. There's someone in the audience who's been around a lot longer than me that we could ask. Mr. Holtman comes to testify later, but I'm not aware of why 2.5% was chosen.
And Representative Demmer, I don't know if it's only me and you, but I thought that Mr. Strom came to this chair to my right straight as soon as he could crawl and has always been here. But Alan Holtman is the superintendent who's coming up later with Representative Szymanski, who was here right before you. So let's ask him when he gets up just for fun. So hold that thought. Remind me if I forget. Any other questions for Representative Faust? Okay, we'll taking this bill into consideration, and when our omnibus bill comes up and we have bills like this in it, of course we have to go to the tax committee with the education finance bill. And our committee tends to be very sympathetic to districts because we know that we really should be passing the new Minnesota Miracle. But when we get to the tax committee, that's when we have harder times, because they are always looking at how much the statewide property taxes go up, and we get criticized for that. So I just want to put that warning in there that just because there's smooth sailing in this committee doesn't mean there will be in the tax committee. And Representative Faust knows that. And we miss you on this committee, Representative Faust.
Well, thank you very much. I miss it here, too. Life goes on, I guess. So I'm sure you guys are doing fine without me.
And Representative Faust will not tell me why he's wearing that hat today.
I will tell you. Last night I was playing basketball, and I jumped to block a shot, and I hit my head on the rim, and so I got sort of this, hey, come on, it's possible. Actually, I slipped on the ice last night, and I did cut my head open pretty good, and I got 31 staples up there. And rather than show it off, I decided to just cover it up with a good-looking hat. So.
Okay, members. We will lay over House File 778 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you, Superintendent Harris, very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the rest of the committee members.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Representative Faust. We now will go back, now that we have a quorum, and do the minutes. And Representative Marquardt, are you ready to move the minutes?
Madam Chair, I move the minutes.
Rep. Marquardt moves the minutes of February 24th. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Szymanski, and welcome to our committee. I don't think you have been here recently.
This is my first appearance.
Your first appearance. Do you have someone to move your bill, or would you like me to move it for you?
Would you move it for me, Madam Chair?
All right. I will move House File 1040 for possible inclusion. Or no, this one has to go to the floor. So we're going to recommend this one to pass and return to the Finance Committee. This, members, is a time-critical bill, a very serious bill that that I believe, hopefully, like I said, we won't see too many more bills like this. But this is a sign of the times. And before we actually hear about the bill, Representative Szymanski has an amendment to get it in the shape that he wants. So I will move the amendment for him, H1040A1. And Representative Szymanski, do you want to tell us just briefly what it does before we vote it to get it in the shape you would like it?
Yes, Madam Chair. The amendment simply deletes the number 5 and changes it to 6. And the purpose of that is that the bonding levy will be for 5 years, but since there's no levy payments during the first year, we simply need to change it to 6, and then we'll have 5 ensuing payments following the first year.
Very good. Any questions or comments on the amendment before we vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. And before we go to Representative Szymanski's to his presentation of the bill and then his testifiers, members, be sure to look in your packet. There's a lot of information that the people before us have provided. In addition to the fiscal note, they have some maps and a county auditor's report supporting their recommendation, and maybe they will talk about them, but just so you know, you have them in the packet. Representative Szymanski, welcome. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill, House File 1040, is legislation to help the McLeod West School District, number 2887, a small rural school district who has been in financial and population decline over the last few years. And they've reached a point where due to open enrollment and facilities in decline, they're looking at the possibility of dissolving the district and consolidating with the neighboring school district. And so what we have here is a school district with some debt that they need to handle before they can proceed with consolidation. The purpose of moving this bill along, you know, rather quickly this session is that the consolidation votes will take place in early May of this spring, and so we would just like to have this legislation in place to have an orderly transition to move this debt you know, through the consolidation process. And at this time, I would like to ask Superintendent Tony Boyer from the McLeod County, McLeod West School District to explain further details.
Thank you, Superintendent Boyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Tony Boyer. I am the practicing superintendent at McLeod West. I came there this year in an attempt to help them through a very difficult time. Through the last 6 years, at least, they've been struggling with their finances and building, as Representative Szymanski said. They had lost over 150 students to open enrollment the prior year before I came. The school board wanted to have one more attempt at saving the school district. They voted to do that last April, despite of my recommendation to do otherwise. But I said I'd stay on and try to help them through this difficult time. We went out to the voters for the maximum operating levy in November with the message that They could vote for this operating levy and their taxes would go up, or they could vote against it and their taxes would go up greater. So they understood that what they were going to do is going to put themselves in a position for either way they were going to pay taxes, and if they voted no, it was going to be a greater burden than if they voted yes. Because of the situation they were in and the troubles amongst the two communities, I'll just put it very humanely if I can, they determined not to support an operating levy. But before we got there, one of the buildings had to be closed, and so we had to tuition our students out to a neighboring district because we had no facility to educate them in. So we took all of our 9th through 12th grade students and tuitioned them out to our neighbors to the south, DFW, given Fairfax Winthrop. God bless their soul that they helped us out. We did meet with all surrounding districts, 4 districts, and we did express our concerns about the operating levy in October. We asked them if they would be interested in coming back after the vote if we couldn't pass it. We didn't pass it. 3 of those districts showed up at our doorstep and said, we know that if we don't help you, somebody's going to tell us we have to help you. So we'd sooner put our oars in the water and help ourselves with this. So GFW, BLH, which is Buffalo Lake Hector, and GSL, Glencoe Silver Lake, decided to help us out. We've been in pursuit of solving this problem. We had 2 choices. We could dissolve, and the county commissioners could then redraw the district lines. That was not what we wanted to do. It wasn't in the best interest of our students, nor was the county interested in doing that. Number 2, we could try to consolidate. And in order to consolidate, we understood that we had to hold all other districts harmless when it came to satisfying this debt. We could not expect any of our neighbors to carry any of this debt, any cost for this debt, at all, or we would not be able to pass a consolidation vote. I hope I'm not boring you, but I'm trying to lay out the groundwork because I think you're going to see this happen again and again in rural Minnesota. In fact, since I've gotten into this, and I've been a part-time superintendent for 6 years. I retired 6 years ago, but I still love kids, and so I do this. In fact, I'm serving 2 districts right now, and could be serving 3 if I so desired, but my wife said I have enough to do at home. So with that being said, we do feel that we have to have this this special legislation passed in order to keep our students in the best position that they can be, and to hold our neighbors harmless when it comes to this debt. Because if we don't pass this consolidation, our neighbors will not be held harmless. In a dissolution, they will have to carry some of this debt. And I don't think that's what we need to pass on to our neighboring districts in a time of constraint. So what we're asking for is that this that McLeod West be authorized to have a general obligation bond so that we can pay off the debt, and that debt would then be spread across the existing McLeod West district through the 5 years, the 5 fiscal years upcoming, so none of the other districts would pay that debt. Mr. Sanyu from Glencoe Silver Lake is here, and Alan Holtman, who is our financial advisor from Northland Securities, is here with us, and he is the guru that's helped us through this. So,
thank you, Superintendent Boyer, and I see that I've, in addition to being up here and being Mr. Strom, Mr. Holtman has been a superintendent, but now he's on to even greener pastures, perhaps. So thank you very much. And members, the co-authors on the bill, the neighboring districts who without this bill would be taking up the slack and responsibility, those districts are represented by the co-authors on the bill, so they're equally anxious to pass it. Superintendent Sanju, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Chris Sanju, and I'm the superintendent from Glencoe Silver Lake, and just to point out that this is something that we think that is in the best interest of students and in the best interest of the situation that is in. It is somewhat unique. It is somewhat complicated at times, but in looking at the big picture of things, We do think that this could be a benefit for the districts that are involved on the outside if consolidation happens. But to sell to my public that we're going to be held with some of the harms of the McLeod West district, I think we would be in a little bit difficult sell at that standpoint. But we have been nothing but supportive with the groups from McLeod West. We're looking forward to the consolidation, and this would be a really helpful step in the right direction.
Very good. Thank you. And then we have Mr. Hopeman here, is here for questions. And I think, Representative Demmer, you had the first question.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, my question is the 2.5% of the 2.5% statutory operating debt of I'm forgetting how to say that. Why 2.5% instead of just negative?
Mr. Hopeman.
Madam Chair, Representative Demmer. I sat in the chair that Tim Strom is sitting in from 1977 to 1986, and when I took that job in 1977, that was in the statute already. So it probably occurred sometime in the mid 70s, I would say, early to mid 70s. I think 71 was the Minnesota Miracle, when there was a major change in funding schools in the state and an increase in the sales tax and the income tax to cover that. The UFARS legislation came in about 1975, I think, and my guess is that it probably accompanied the UFARS legislation. When districts were put on a uniform accounting system, some districts had large debts at that time, and they must have established a threshold to decide who was really too far in debt to continue to operate without a special plan and so on. So that's my best answer.
And Mr. Holtman, you can't see him behind you, but Tom Deans from MSDA is nodding his head that he thinks you're right. So
Terry's been around as long as I have.
Yeah, good memories in this room. So, all right, very good. Well, any questions on the bill for any of the testifiers or for Representative Szymanski? Any testifiers in the audience for or against the bill? Closing statement, Representative Szymanski.
Madam Chair, I'd like to thank the committee for consideration, and I hope they look favorably upon our request for the benefits of not only the residents of my district and the school districts I represent, but also the districts are represented by Terry Morrow and Lyle Coonan.
Very good. Thank you very much. And I'll renew my motion that House Bill 1040 be recommended to pass as amended and return to the Finance Committee with the intention that it get to the floor as soon as possible for all these students in these districts. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes, and the bill will be going to Finance Committee. Thank you all.
Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Hillstrom, is she here? And if not, we'll take Superintendent Lester, who can do what Superintendent Harris did. Start with all your legislators. And members, as Superintendent Lester gets here again in your packet, Representative Hillstrom has two bills that Superintendent Lester will be helping us with, two different options. We continue to have districts that have financial problems, and they need to figure out ways for us to help them since we have not passed the new Minnesota Miracle. And so Brooklyn Center is having to ask similar questions as earlier people. So welcome, Superintendent Lester, and I will move the bill when we get Representative Hillstrom here. But if you also could go through the problem, and then Representative Hillstrom can describe the two possible fixes.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about a tough issue for us. We've been battling this particular situation for some time, and we're looking forward at some point of getting out. But in the meantime, we're asking for a little help. We have been in and out of SOD since 2002, and I believe that's mostly in, if you do the research. There are several reasons for this. A little over a year ago, the department said we should have Carter Christie, who is the retired Burnsville business manager, do a fiscal analysis of our district to determine just what are we doing. They kindly paid for it, so we thought it was a good idea to do it. And he did, and he came back with this analysis in his the results of his check. While overspending was a major contributor to the initial deficit, insufficient revenue was a factor in more recent years. The state aid funding formula was frozen in 04 and 05, and the increases in 06 and 07 were not enough to make up for the losses previously. Special education, no surprise, was not adequately funded. The difficulty was compounded by inflationary pressure on expenditures and increasing numbers of needy students. And Brooklyn Center is unique in size and demographics. And that, if you've heard me here before, you know you've heard me talk a lot about that. We look like an inner city school, and we're funded like a suburban school. And I guess I would argue that without some kind of help, and hopefully that'll be a change someday, the Minnesota Miracle, for example, we will be in a position where we can get out of this situation. But I doubt without passing a levy whether we'll be able to do that. If you take into account the things that we've accomplished, I think it's rather amazing. We've innovated, we've written grants, we've lobbied, we've begged. I'm here today. And the result that we are unique and we're special in many ways. We have done what we can to make sure our students get the best possible education. The elementary is an international baccalaureate, authorized world school. The high school was just recognized by the Magnet Schools of America as being a magnet school of excellence. We're partnering with several school districts, and we'll be talking more about partnering, I hope, sometime soon. But we do a lot of things, and we do it because it's good for kids, and we're not afraid to fight, and we're not afraid to work, and we know that we have a responsibility, and we'll meet it, but we do need a little bit of help. I don't think we're going to pass a levy referendum in the near future. If you look at the financial situation, I was almost late because I had my picture taken. We're going to be the poster child for defeated levy referendum. We've had six in a row defeated, and we're a high poverty district, and our students, 70%, 72% of them are in poverty. Their diversity is 73%. Our mobility is 25%+. ELL is right in that same range. So we've got a high-need school district with not enough revenue, and we've got people living in the district that are in no better shape than the students that they send to us. And so we need some help. There are two bills here, and I assume we're talking about both of them at the same time. One would allow us to levy, as I think you asked about that, Representative Garofalo, and the other one would be to delay, and I guess not have the creditors breathing down our necks or whatever it may be, to put off, and definitely not paying your bills is not a great idea, but at least if we were able to come in with a balanced budget the 2 years, we wouldn't have to cut twice, once for paying off our debt and the other for dealing with the fiscal shortfall that every school district is dealing with. So with that, I would certainly be available for questions, but I've got a hunch you're going to want to hear from.
Very good. And we've got our representative here now. So, Representative Hilsum, do you have someone to move your bill? Did you request, or should I move it, please?
If you would, Madam Chair, that would be great.
Okay,
which one would you like to move first?
We'll start out with House File 427, and I will move that for possible inclusion in the omnibus K-12 finance bill. And now, the testimony, I think, applies to both. So you can tell us what this bill does. We'll then lay it over after questions and any other testimony, and then we'll do the second bill, and that one we do have an amendment for. But the House File 427. And welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, my staff gave me 425, so if 427 is the one that's on the agenda, I would love
okay,
to
so
have
get a copy. To that one. We know you're a quick study, and as we said to Representative Faust, we miss you on this committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And one thing I just would like this committee to know is that we need desperate help in our area. And so I have three proposed bills with another one coming, and what I'm hoping is that you will recognize the need that we have here and help us figure out a way to solve this problem. And so if the committee doesn't like option number one, we'll try door number two or door number three. So, Madam Chair, House File 427 is the statutory operating debt, and I believe this is the one that would authorize the school district to suspend the special operating plan for fiscal year 2010 and 2011 after conducting a public meeting on the topic. And so basically what we're asking is that, again, we don't have to make progress on paying back the debt during the time that we're cutting, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. And again, this is the kind of bill I like. It's a threshold bill. It's for anyone in the same situation. So,
correct.
Any questions for Representative Hillstrom? Representative Swales.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hillstrom and to the Superintendent as well, we've seen you here in front of our committee before, and I just want to welcome you again. It's always nice to see you. This is, you know, the situation that our entire state is in right now is very concerning, and I mean this with, you know, the best of intentions in asking. It's out of just the curiosity and wanting to know. But you mentioned partnering with other districts on various services, but what kind of discussions have you had within Brooklyn Center about joining, merging into other school districts? Has that been a part of your discussion?
Superintendent Lester or Representative Hillstrom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That actually surfaces about every 10 years or so in my community and has for many, many years. Brooklyn Center is divided into four school districts, and it's because there were four farmers in Brooklyn Center, and as they sold off their land, they each went into a different school district. So that is how we have four school districts in Brooklyn Center. And everybody thinks it's a great idea to merge school districts as long as all the kids go to the school district they happen to live in. And so no one wants to give up the identity that they have within their school district. And Brooklyn Center worked very, very hard for many, many years to actually get their own school district. They have one elementary and one high school, and they actually did pass a bonding bill to build a brand new elementary school. How many years ago?
2001.
In 2001, and so they were very committed back then, but as you know, the economy has changed very much, and we have a very high foreclosure rate, and so it's not that they don't support our schools. It's they can't afford to feed their kids. They can't afford to keep their houses, and so it's very, very difficult to vote for an operating levy. But when my community can, they do everything they can to support the community schools. So it would be a very difficult thing to merge these school districts, but we tend to have those conversations about every 10 years.
Madam Chair and Representative, thank you for that question. I'm going to be meeting with you, I think, on Friday, talk about a solution to all of this. So it'll all be taken care of when I visit with you, and for everyone. But what I would also tell you is that when you are the best one of those four school districts, you don't want to be disbanding. And I say that, I know you're laughing over here. America Hennepin is laughing. But what I'm really trying to say is that we are unique because we are a small district. We look like Minneapolis and St. Paul. We have the diversity. We have the poverty. For better or for worse, we do. But we're two buildings with 1,750 kids, and we can do things that bigger districts can't do. Now, that doesn't make us better than them, but we can do things. As one superintendent once said, you know, and I think I've used this line before, but I love working at Brooklyn Center because I can get up in the morning with a good idea and have it implemented by noon. But we are. We're innovating, and if you look at what we've done, we're outsourcing our business management. I'm the only district-level administrator left in the district that's not outsourced, and I think they're looking at me kind of sideways now about whether they could do that too. So you know, we're innovating in a lot of different ways, and what I want to talk to you about on Friday, community schools, is another way that I think will make a difference in terms of reforming what happens in education, but especially for us. So I think we're unique. I think we're special, and I haven't been here the whole time. I did graduate from this school, but I haven't been here the whole time, but I think it's a unique school district that deserves to stay alive and has something to offer everybody else around us.
Madam Chair, if I could feel some. Thank you, Madam Chair. Brooklyn Center would be a great school district for this committee to look at when they're looking at the governor's plan about how to partner and how things could work together, because they both have great success with it, and they actually have an example of where a mandate of mandating that you work with somebody is actually more expensive than not. And so they would be a great example for this committee to look at as well when you're looking at that whole partnership proposal.
Representative Hillstrom doesn't have her office next to mine for nothing. She's learned the repetition. Representative Morgan and then Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hillstrom and Superintendent Lester, help me understand how House File 427 is going to help you in your fiscal situation.
Superintendent Lester.
Madam Chair, I guess what we're looking at is that's the one with the waiver, right? Is it not? Yeah, is that right now we need to cut $800,000 for next year. This year we will be anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 ahead. If that goes to pay off the debt, which is a responsible thing, then we're going to cut an entire $800,000. And at some point next year we're going to have to double cut, because we're going to have to cut to make up for the loss of the revenue, and we're going to have to pay back the debt. So this, in light of the fiscal situation, the economic situation, we think that this has potential for us to, you know, when I talked with Dr. Melcher recently, it's like having the credit card, and you just kind of keep it there, and yeah, there's some interest that goes on it, but at least we don't have to pay it off right away. That just gives us some time to just cut to make up for the money we don't have.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I congratulate you on hiring Dr. Christie to come in and do your consulting. Worked with him many times. He's very talented. Was this one of his recommendations to you about how to remedy the situation?
I'm sure it was. Superintendent Lester.
We had some conversation about it, but I might point at Representative Hillstrom. Excuse me, Madam Chair. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I was looking for something that could help, that didn't cost any money, that people might say okay to. So at this point, we're just kind of generating ideas, and I kind of made it up in my office.
Okay.
Representative Hillstrom is very talented, too, apparently. Representative Demmer, and then Representative Depke. Representative Demmer.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I had pretty much the same question as Representative Morgan, but I'm going to extend it just a little bit. So from my understanding is what you'd like to be able to do is, in your plan, not have to incorporate repayments of the negativism.
Just
in other words, carry that on. As you say, carry the credit card debt for a while. Is there a plan after that? Or I guess, let me just leave it at that. Is there a plan after that, or are you just simply hoping that things will turn around and you can have a better idea by then?
Superintendent Lester.
Yes. Madam Chair and Representative Demmer, this isn't a wing and a prayer. We have a plan in place, and we would continue the plan. And I would say, and I was asked the same question at a Senate hearing, and the plan that I'm talking about that I think will save the day may or may not, but it has to do with community schools, and that if we can implement that approach, we're going to develop a program that's going to improve academics, going to reduce truancy, is going to reduce mobility. It's going to make a big difference, and it's going to reduce costs for us and everybody around us that we partner with. So our plan is to continue to follow through on our plan, the one that we have in place, and the other is to change how we do business as a school completely. It'd be a very different place 2 years or so.
You're one of your comments just added another question to my list. What do you mean by community schools? Could you?
Superintendent.
This is wonderful. Thank you, Madam Chair. First service, they're called a lot of things. First service community schools, and a variety of other things. And they're a nationwide phenomena. Chicago is a real good example of a number of schools that are doing that. And as you know, the new Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, was the person that was responsible for that. And what it does is it makes the school, and so far it's been primarily, there are some districts, but primarily across the country, individual schools where they become the hub of the community. And everything kind of spokes into the school and everything spokes out. So in other words, we're partnering already with Hennepin County on a number of things. We start co-locating services. We start sharing services. We talked with Hennepin County about how we could reduce some of our special ed costs by partnering together and keeping some of those services in our school. We're partnering with the YMCA. We have the only Beacons program that is not in Minneapolis in the state of Minnesota. And our parents, after school, don't pay for after-school daycare anymore. because we have the Beacons program where they get tutoring, they get enrichment, they get a snack, they get babysitting, if you will, or daycare. All of that is part of the program that we're partnering. So their efforts come into us, and then this is a big piece of it is parental involvement. In real community schools, there is a huge component where the parents are coming into the schools because it's close, and remember, we're a 2.8 square mile school district, so we're like a small community, whether we're outstate or whether we're in town, and everything funnels in and everything funnels out. So if we can reduce the barriers to learning, mental health, chemical health, family problems, violence, homelessness, you know, you name it, name all of those barriers, if we can reduce them by sharing services with other agencies, co-locating some of those services. Park Nicholas is interested in putting a clinic in our school, and sharing all those services, providing that, our teachers can worry about teaching the kids, and worry about the academics, and not have to, and also have the parents more involved, and not have to worry about all those barriers that are there. They can start talking about what they need to learn to be successful when they leave Brooklyn Center. So that, in a nutshell, and not a very good nutshell, but that's, I have lots of material if you'd like. I'll be happy to forward it on to you.
Yes, I'm definitely.
I'll be leaving it with you on Friday, yes.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Madam Chair. I have another question. Is this a precedent-setting bill, or have we done these kinds of things and allowed school districts that are in statutory operating debt to remain that way and to delay repayment for a period of time?
And this is a question I think we all would like to know the answer to. A very good question. I'll ask Mr. Strom to tell us when we've done this before and what were the circumstances. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm not aware of the state waiving the conditions of the special operating plans in the past. There are often cases where a district sits down with the department and renegotiates portions of their special operating plan, particularly when referendums fail. But I'm not aware of the legislature enacting something like this for an individual district or for a group of districts.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yep. Welcome.
Madam.
And Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just argue that I would not be coming before this committee if this was not extraordinary time. We have extraordinary budget deficits in this state. Everyone is looking for every dollar, and this is one way to attempt to help our schools. And we're not saying you don't have to pay the money back. We're just saying that we're going to give you a little bit of a breather while you work and the state works through all of these other budget deficit issues as well.
Madam Chair?
Superintendent Lester.
Well, it would be best to keep my mouth shut on this one, but we should have, by law, we probably should have been out a long time ago if we've been in since 2002. So we have negotiated those plans, and the department, I think, has been very generous. I think the idea here was, well, we really didn't negotiate it. It just sort of kept happening. This was to make it so that we're not fudging on how we're doing it now. So,
thank you very much. And this is a district that for those of us who have been on this committee a while have heard about many times, because somehow the funding doesn't work very well with our current inadequacy. But for districts like this with the high needs, and then somehow they don't get the desegregation revenue because of, we haven't updated that formula compared to other districts. They were used by the auditor as the big example comparing Stillwater to Brooklyn Center, and compensatory, you know, the way we're reforming that will do them more good, but in the meanwhile we haven't done that yet. We haven't kept up to recognize that districts like Brooklyn Center have a lot of the needs of the core cities, but they don't have the same funding level. So it's coming to a head when we have been not keeping up with inflation, and so we have the canaries in the mine. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Superintendent, could you just educate me? I see that you're on the list, and you mentioned you just got, you're on the SOD list since 2002. There's one other school, I think, that's been on there since then, as I see anyhow, of the current ones on the list. Have you been out of, you mentioned that you had worked with the department to review your plans. Have you ever gone out of SOD?
Well, I've been here
Lieutenant
since...
Lester.
Excuse me, and Madam Chair. I've been here since 2005. I'm told that we have been, but I have enough experience working in school business because where I came from, I was in that position as well as superintendent. From what I can see, we weren't. And that's why, unfortunately, it doesn't look good for me, but we've gone deeper since I got here because we started finding where there were some issues that happened. And it had to do with the revenue wasn't there and we weren't, I'm guessing, not allocating it correctly or how we spelled it out. But
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a couple follow-up questions. And I too believe that we need to really look at how to help districts. And I see Representative Szymanski's bill, and I think all of us feel that impact that when a community loses their school, they lose a lot of their identity. And we have all kind of witnessed that throughout the state at different times. And some districts are making some really tough decisions and choices, closing schools, cutting staff, higher class sizes. Have you done some of those?
Madam Chair?
Lester.
Yes, we've actually cut somewhere around $6 million since 2001, which is about a third of our general fund operating budget. We've raised our class sizes. We have some pushing 40 in the high school. We've tried to keep as best we can in the elementary, but those are also higher. So we've done the cutting. We've done the creative kinds of things, looking at ways to raise revenue. We haven't cheated. We haven't creative. Always is scary when you're talking finance. We haven't done anything, you know, creative or illegal, but we've done a number of things. For example, the outsourcing. We outsourced our business management, payroll, accounting and accounts payable all to one location, and we're paying about $10,000 more than we were paying just for the business manager that we had previously. So we saved considerable money doing that. We eliminated a technology coordinator, director, I should say, and for better or for worse, I'm it now, but fortunately there are people that know a lot more than me that are working the system. So we've done the creative things to keep the programs going. We've just doubled up the work, or we've done other kinds of things, but we have cut a great deal.
Representative Gilstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The other thing that this school district has been excellent at doing is they've been funding a lot of their school needs through federal grants, and they have a policy, I believe, that each principal needs to fill out a grant every month.
Well, our high school principal promised, and so did the elementary, yeah. So, of course, we have to get them once we... Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Representative Ward, are you? Was that it? Okay. Representative Depke, and then Detmer, and then we will go on to the second bill because this is all the same discussion. Representative Depke.
Yes, I will tell you, Representative Hilstrom, the thing that concerns me is that we are maybe setting a precedent for other schools. I would think, have you thought about that? That if, in fact, we pass a bill like this, is this an opportunity for many of our schools and our charter schools to take advantage of this? And as we delay the debt on these schools, is there any thought about really looking at a solid plan for repayment on these debts?
Representative Hilstrom. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This would actually be for any school district that is in statutory operating debt, so it wouldn't just be my school district that would have this benefit. And one of the things that I thought of when we were doing this is there are sometimes our shifts in education funding, and if we as a state decide that we're going to delay payment to our schools, that's only going to make it worse for the districts that are already in statutory operating debt. And I just think that something like this needs to be on the table as we are making decisions as legislators about what we are going to do about education funding. And this is one that doesn't cost any money. So in the event that you make decisions about how you're going to fund schools and you don't think that we've done enough this year, this would be one item that I would hope you would consider. And Representative Depke, plan number two that we'll be going through next is not precedent setting, and it would cost some property taxes. So we have another option that has been done before. So Representative Detmer, last question before we get on to plan B.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the superintendent, I know superintendents talk with other superintendents. Do you know of any other school districts that would be taking advantage of this if it was passed?
Superintendent Lester.
Madam Chair, not personally, but the word that I have had come back to me through other people that work with those other districts, there would be some interest.
All right, so I will lay over House File 427 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And next, members, if you would go to House File 229, which I'll move for, or 429, I've got it right in front of me and can't read it. House File 429, I'll move for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, and I will move, let's see, what happened to the amendment?
Madam Chair, there's two amendments. One is the A1 amendment, and then there is a small oral amendment, and they are drafting,
okay.
Issues, Madam Chair, not substance.
All right, and members, I will move the H0429A1 amendment, and Representative Hillstrom, do you have the oral amendment, or do you want Mr. Strom to read it off? He's got it right here.
I do have it, Madam Chair, but okay. Mr. Strom could certainly do it. I believe it's just on line 1.10. It states at the end of the sentence, section 123B.53, and the 5 needs to be deleted and 8 needs to be put in its place.
And Mr. Strom is shaking his head that you got it exactly right. Members, these are both just clerical typos, nothing substantive. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Representative Hillstrom, House File 429.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 429 is Plan B. As you know, that we have a significant issue with passing our levies, and so this would permit school districts in statutory operating debt to levy without voter approval, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to levy without voter approval, Madam Chair.
All right, and before we go into that, maybe we could ask Mr. Strom, because we could anticipate Representative Hepsi's question, to tell us about when this has been done before, and what were the circumstances. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, members, pardon me, there's a little bit of history on the bill summary for you about this. There's been a number of instances in the past where the legislature has given specific authority for all those districts in statutory operating debt as of a specific date to levy to repay that operating debt. And those instances are marked on the bill summary there. So we've done that on five previous times since 1977 where all of the districts as of a date certain, as of June 30th of a particular date, have been given that levy authority. The authority has been specified in a couple of different ways, and the amounts have varied for each of those legislative actions. But in each instance, the legislature has essentially okayed a special levy for those districts in statutory operating debt.
Okay. Mr. Lester's already testified, Superintendent Lester, on both bills, so we'll go to member questions on this bill. Representative Manziel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Seems to me that both of these bills in total give districts that are in or out but close to being in, more tools with which to educate young people. But this one, without the wishes of the people of the district, troubles me some, and I'd be interested in knowing if you've had any discussions with the MSBA about what their position is on this.
Madam Chair,
Superintendent Lester.
No, I have not. But I would say the same things that trouble you trouble me, and. I see this, and maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot, but I see this as a last resort. There are a lot of other tools in our pocket, but as Representative Hilton said, we need to go for whatever we can that's gonna allow us to move forward.
Madam Chair,
Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And let me just say that I don't necessarily like this as my first choice either, but I came from the city council, and city councils are able to levy taxes on the people all the time without voter approval, as are our counties and many other entities. And so school districts are the only one, I believe, that don't have the right straight-up authority to levy for their funding needs. And so I think that this needs to be part of the discussion as we make decisions going forward. And so that's why I put forward the bill.
And maybe this would be a good point, before we go back to member questions, to ask if there is any testimony on this bill or the last bill, for or against. Anybody from the School Board Association here to comment since that question came up, or anyone else? Welcome, Mr. Scheidewind.
Madam Chair, my name is Kirk Scheidewind. I'm on staff of the Minnesota School Board Association. We do not have any specific position on these individual bills. I think you raised the perfect issue about the discretionary levy authority, and we were just having that discussion up there, too, about the decisions that school boards make at the local level. In terms of finances and levies, are very similar to what cities and counties have to go through, and I think that needs to be weighed as you consider this bill as well. And so, though we don't have any specific piece on this, I think it's an interesting discussion to have.
And I did get a chance, along with Senator Stump, to talk to the School Board Association people when they were here this week, all from all around the state, and I noticed on their lobbying agenda, they had on their funding, they had different categories, but under funding, their number one position was fund the new Minnesota miracle, so we cannot have discussions like this. So is there Representative Garofalo and then Representative Demmer? Every time I say that, Representative Garofalo is rolling his eyes.
This is what the minutes look like. Representative Garofalo had a heavy sigh after Representative. Just 2 points, not questions. One, Representative Enfels, I respect your position on it, but I think one of the things we need to work on in this session is about consistency and transparency. So there's two ways to do it. Either we give the school districts more flexibility, like Representative Hilster mentioned, by having them the same authority that cities and counties have, or we pull back the cities and the counties so they have the same level as the school district. A reasonable case to be made for either one of those. But what's happening right now is that you've got county and city government doing one set of things, and then voters get angry, they get upset, and there's only one chance they have to take it out at the ballot box. And it's reflected on the school. The second point I would make is that if you look through the statute books, and it's painful to do this, but if you go through and you look at the subdivisions, you will find that unlike cities and counties, which are pretty similar in how they're treated with their local discretion, there's actually some really ugly nuggets in school funding, where certain school districts are given local discretion to levy for things. And we're not talking about capital projects, I'm talking about operating levies, but they're able to operate, whereas a district like Brooklyn Center with very similar demographic patterns can't do the same thing. And again, if we're talking about transparency and simplification, either all the school districts should have that discretion, or we should take it away from the school districts that have it. One or the other. But picking winners and losers, I think, is something that we should be working on this year. Not picking winners and losers. Not we picking winners
and losers. Rafa, have you been talking to Mr. Bagnoli?
Yeah, not as bad as that one.
Not as bad.
Thank you.
Representative Demmer and then Representative Enfels.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Along those same lines, I'm appreciating the conversation. I have concern. I think without having a broader policy discussion about whether we allow that discretion, particularly on House Bill 429, my concern is that we're setting up a situation where school districts actually have incentives to go into statutory operating debt, because then they can pass a levy referendum without having to go to the public. If you just hold off and say you're negative, then you don't have to worry about the referendum, and I'm not sure that's the sort of policy we want in place. Regarding House Bill 427, a similar concern I have is that in this particular case, you obviously have something in mind, you have a plan. I'm concerned about just putting in that any school district at any time can have a meeting and say we don't need to worry about our plan anymore. I'm not sure that that's good accountability for a school district. It seems to me there should be something that says you can delay replenishing your funds provided. This just says you can delay replenishing your funds 2 years, and then we'll see what happens later. I realize you have something in mind, but somebody else, that doesn't say anybody has to have anything in mind. And so I have concerns, Madam Chair, regarding putting this, and I understand you're thinking that we could let all school districts do it if one can do it. in this case, I think we might be setting ourselves up for some difficulties down the road, and some of us may be here and some of us may not when we have to deal with this again, but I just have concerns, and quite frankly, I'd like to see board number 3 and 4 represented before we go forward.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are not getting rid of the requirement that you have to make the plan with the department. We're just saying that for 2 years, you don't have to make progress on paying it back. And so everybody already has rules about having to have a plan. So I hope that that will, dissuade some of your concern on that piece. The second part is the precedent. The precedent has already been set. There has been a time in which we permitted people who were in statutory operating debt to levy without voter approval. And so this is just borrowing from the past. Again, these are extraordinary times, and things have not been this bad in Minnesota since before the 80s. The recession hasn't been this bad. And so I don't necessarily like any of these options. I don't like the option that we may have a $7 billion deficit, I think, according to the governor. And so what I'm saying is we need to have all of the options on the table so as you make your decisions, you just look out for folks like us and you understand that we're in trouble. And whichever tools you happen to give us to solve our problems, we want to have been part of the discussion. And you can pick door number 1, door number 2, door number 3, door number 4. We'll give you as many options as you'd like to hear from us, as often as you'd like. We just can't continue to see cuts without losing something that's very important to our community.
Madam Chair.
Superintendent Lester.
Yes. Another thing about this, and I realize things could change or other bills could come about, but you would have to be, and this bill have to have been in statutory operating debt on June 30th, 2008. So it's the districts that would want to get into it, and believe me, having lived in it for 4 years, it's not something I would really fight my way to get to. 6 levy referendums is not a lot of fun. So, just as a comment.
Representative Zeld, and then...
Well, real briefly, Madam Chair and members, after hearing the MSBA's rather vanilla answer to the question, and hearing Representative Garofalo's comment about how the property tax variances occur between the authorities of school boards, county boards, and city councils. Now I think we have to be really careful here, because this goes in exactly the opposite direction, Madam Chair, as the whole concept of the Minnesota Miracle purports to take us. Mm-hmm. And I feel less good about this, even though I'm going to support this, but I feel less good about it because I got to tell you again, and again, and again, in greater Minnesota, in greater rural Minnesota, it's the school portion of the homestead property taxes that is creating confiscatory problems with an elderly population that can't stay in those houses. They've educated their children once. And I go to them and I ask them, you got to do it again for the next one. And they have trouble, and it goes back to having low property values. So to the degree that we depend upon the property tax, you're exacerbating problems in greater Minnesota.
And Representative Panzels, you're very right, and it's actually all around the state now. And we have to remember that if we didn't fund the whole new Minnesota Miracle, if we just funded the special education portion, most of the districts in the state would not need levy referendums. It is our fault that they even have to have them at all because we are not funding that, and it's the cost of the whole cross-subsidy is roughly equal to the cost of the levy referendums in the state. So we can sit here and bash and beat the local school districts all we want to, but we have to remember our responsibility in the problems that they are having. Representative Dietrich. Yeah. All right. Any other comments, questions, anybody from the audience? If not, I renew my motion that House File 429 be laid over as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you, Representative Hillstrom, Superintendent Lester.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
We look forward to door number 3 and 4. And the meeting is adjourned.